Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Really happy to be joined by our next guest. His name is Thomas Freestead. He is with the Kansas City Business Journal. Certainly a lot of things to talk about with Thomas. How you doing today, man? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year as well, and thank you for the opportunity. No overstatement to say, yeah, a whole lot of stuff to talk about where the teams are concerned this year.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I ideally dedicate coverage oxygen to literally anything else on the real estate and development side, in addition to the stadium stuff.
I'm currently trying to read a book. I'm reading Friday Night Lights, the book, and part of me, like, in the middle of reading, and I'm like, why can't I just turn on the television show? I already know all of this.
Yeah, that's fun. Reading more generally, work-related and otherwise as well. Great goal to shoot for.
So right now we're talking to Thomas Freestead. He's with the Kansas City Business Journal. Certainly a lot to ask him about and get his opinion on. So let's start with this. There's been a lot of conversation about the deal between the Chiefs and Kansas. I guess let's just start with this. What do you make of the deal? Do you think this is a good deal for the residents of the state of Kansas?
Everyone kind of consuming the story is going to have to draw their own conclusions as to whether it is a good deal in terms of being a good deal for Kansas, what they ought to pursue. Is it a workable deal? Is it a functional one? That's kind of where my reporting comes into play. And so, like over the last year and a half of covering this stadium story, I never really took for granted that a new Kansas stadium, a dome stadium, was something that the Chiefs might pursue. It was always just, what is the Starbond district going to be? Within what area of Metro Kansas will future sales taxes be captured to repay stadium bonds? And it was our coverage where we put out the rough estimate based on the state's map of 293 square miles. That's what we are currently working off of as a baseline and waiting for the parties involved to hone that further.
I've seen the map that is drawn up by this. It seems like a pretty big area. What do you make of kind of guess of the early proposal of what the Starbond district is going to look like?
Well, it stood out in that it was a little bit validating from the standpoint of, I think there might have been a misconception from some sort of loosely following stadium goings on that it was only going to be the stadium and perhaps surrounding mixed uses from which sales taxes were captured. And when you look at the multi-billion dollar magnitude of these projects, that was never going to be the case. It was just, how big did the district have to be? And so the day after that map got put out, what I was able to do I pull up the map in one internet tab. I pulled up municipal maps for all of the metro Kansas cities in the other. And this is something you can do at home. You can type in the boundaries for Kansas City, Kansas, for Edwardsville, for Bonner Springs, Olathe, et cetera, and see kind of how they comport with the outlines of what that map is. It's all of those cities smushed together is what the 293 square miles is, minus existing star bond districts from which sales taxes would not be captured.
Right now, we're talking to Thomas Freestad. He is with the Kansas City Business Journal, talking to him about the deal between the Chiefs and the state of Kansas. At least my perception of this, Thomas, and I'm curious, is you're right that people are allowed to form their own conclusion about whether or not they think the deal is a good deal or a bad deal. But I also think like there is a measure of just acceptance with how American cities work. It might not be fair, and sure, in an ideal world, these billion-dollar teams will pay for their own stadium, they keep the resources, they do all that, you pay for it. That all makes sense to me. But this is also the cost to me of doing business. And if you're a state like Kansas and you want to lure a team away from a state like Missouri, then you got to offer up a sweet deal. And that is exactly what Kansas did here. I think Kansas set out with a goal. They were going to do whatever it took to get the Chiefs, and it looks like they succeeded in that goal.
I think it's a fair outline, and you know this is not an issue where I personally opine on it all that much. I will say sort of the framework that I have used to look at this is, you know, you're right. It is the cost of doing business, so to speak, that public dollars are often offered to keep or attract sports teams to this city or that city. It then just becomes a question, if that is accepted as kind of the ground rules at large, you know, what is an acceptable amount? What is the ceiling of incentive money that ought to be offered in the context of these stadium deals? Because, I mean, a question that I've been wondering over the course of these proceedings, and to the extent I was maybe thinking the Chiefs might more seriously consider renovating Arrowhead, Kansas's offer always was going to be the larger dollar value offer in this conversation, just based on how the star bonds work. And yet it wasn't until last month that they said, you know, we're going to not renovate Arrowhead. We're going to build anew.
Right now, we're learning a little bit more about the stadium issue with Thomas Freestad. He covers the business side of things with the Kansas City Business Journal. Do you see any flaws in this plan? Because at least the way the Missouri side, we had a couple of politicians on last week, is they just don't really trust the mechanics of it and the economics of it. I think we all know what the positive benefits of the star bond is. What are some of the negatives? And could you see maybe this not working as ideal as people think it could?
There's questions to raise on it in terms of how it'll function, and then in terms of just whether this is healthy for the state. In terms of the latter, what this effectively will do is capture future sales taxes from within whatever the ultimate star bond district is. And it is somewhat said out of the state that, you know, these are dollars resulting from having the Chiefs in Kansas. But the way an economist put it to me that I thought was pretty neat and salient was, you know, people are still going to buy Chipotle burritos. They're still going to shop for T-shirts, still going to buy lawnmowers in Johnson County, even if they're not going to Chiefs games. That all is happening with Johnson County, independent of the Chiefs. All of that money still will go to the stadium bond. For better or worse, that's what people will have to decide. In terms of the functionality of the program, nothing like this has ever been attempted through the Star Bond program. In our reporting from state audits in past years, 20-plus previous Star Bond projects are cumulatively outweighed by just what would go to the stadium alone here, $1.8 billion, to say nothing of potential additional bonds that could go to auxiliary mixed-use development, which is where you get up to $2.775 billion in star bonds. Very real questions around that.
Thomas, what do you make of, I guess, Senator Dan Hawkins coming out and saying that the deadline is passed for the Royals if they want to hop on the star bonds? What do you make of his comments?
I've been following sort of what Kansas lawmakers have been saying around that reasonably closely, and that you've kind of had these like parallel deadlines here. You've had the end of the year soft deadline. Kansas lawmakers say we will not consider stadium proposals past that point. Of course, it is on the books until June 30th. They could always just reverse course and say, you know what, we think the Royals would be a really great deal at, say, 119th and Nall as well. So we're going to maybe walk that back. And I will also say within the conversation, there's whether the Royals have the ability to use the enhanced star bonds versus whether they physically can build a stadium in Kansas. I mean, they could build it yesterday if there was a will in a way. And they theoretically still could qualify for regular star bonds, which are targeted towards tourism boosting projects. It would just not be the enhanced stadium variety that they would be able to qualify for if the state held true to its word.
Yeah, a lot of it feels like it's kind of semantics in that regards. This is how we opened up the show, that Kansas is 35th in the state when it comes to population. And I just find it hard to believe, and none of the states that are behind Kansas in terms of population have a professional sports team. I just find it hard to believe that the Royals would go to the state of Kansas, suggest that we want to be there, and Kansas wouldn't do everything in its power to make it work. So you're right. Maybe they're not under the same mechanism as the Chiefs. They don't have the same leveraging power. But having a professional baseball team anywhere in the state of Kansas is such a win that it is for everybody on the politician side to try to make that financially feasible for everybody.
I will say, if you're looking at how a star bond would work with relation to the Royals versus the Chiefs, the program is almost better suited to fund a baseball stadium, in that if you're trying to capture economic activity from a district, baseball having 81 games plus whatever concerts or surrounding activity there is versus, like, I think 8 or 9 Chiefs games per year versus how many concerts, like, you will just generate more recurring traffic, presumably around a ballpark versus a football stadium.
Right now, we're talking to Thomas Freestad for a couple more minutes here. He's with the Kansas City Business Journal. I know you're more of a reporter and maybe don't dive into the opinion side of things, but when this thing settles, when all the dust settles, where do you think the Royals are going to land?
I'm out of the prediction business, Karen. Just like, I've been at this now, we've done the timeline of it. It has now been over 4 years since, I think, the first open letter from CEO John Sherman talking about potential future stadium sites. The way I look at it now, I don't have a dog in the fight, but every individual site you can point to has disparate pros and cons. You know, it's been said maybe downtown's Washington Square Park is like the perfect urban setting, but it's also a tight site. You wouldn't be able to have a battery-esque mixed-use district around it. You'd have to buy parcels non-contiguous to the stadium. North Kansas City has a lot of development acreage, but it might rely on a countywide new sales tax. And then 119th and Nall, they control by way of the mortgage purchase out there at the Asbury campus. But it seems as though, candidly, everyone and their mother has a reason to not love that site. I think that would be a major uphill battle if they were to attempt to go there.
Yeah, that part to me, I don't know if it surprised me in the least bit, but I mean, no one really around the stadium has kind of wrapped their arms around the idea of that's where the stadium has been. I feel like of all the ideas, and maybe this is saying this on the Kansas side, because there was certainly a lot of pushback to the idea of putting it in the Crossroads District, but there has been a lot of pushback toward the Royals moving to 119th and all.
Yeah, and maybe it comes with the territory when you sort of start to explore a, shall we say, non-conventional stadium site like that. I assume behind closed doors there is at least some vision there that, you know, whether or not everybody likes it, that could be put forward if that were their chosen direction. I think everyone's just waiting to see what is the chosen direction. What more information do the Royals look to have before they come forward and say, this is our preferred path forward?
Well, let me ask you this here, and I'm with you. You're not in the prediction business. I completely understand. Can you tell us how it would work downtown? Because you just mentioned it. There are pros and cons associated with all of these suggestions. I've said that I think there's only one place in the city that will unify the city. You just mentioned all the opposition towards putting on 119th and all. As somebody who lives in Jackson County, I mean, I'm lukewarm about the North Kansas City idea, but sure, if that's where they move, I'll obviously support it. But you could really sell the vision of downtown baseball, especially with the good plan. From the business side, can you tell us how this would work if the Royals tomorrow say, we want to move downtown?
I guess it would depend on their chosen site downtown. The city has concentrated a good amount on Washington Square Park, but I know 18th and Vine has been part of the conversation. And last week I spoke with Mayor Quentin Lucas. I specifically asked, is there anything ruling out if the team ever were to want to go back and look at the East Village, their original choice in downtown? Is there anything that would preclude that? And he said, no, at least not on the city side. So, like, it honestly depends on where they want to go and what level of public incentive participation they perceive as necessary to move forward.
Maybe that's just the idea that they sold us for the longest, so I think that's the one that people would get behind. But I'm still not sure how we spend most of my childhood talking about the East Village, and then one day they just woke up and said, we want to put a stadium in the Crossroads. Like, they could very easily sell me the entire East Village idea. I'm not sure why that idea died on the vine, so to speak.
It was raised at the city level, at least in part, that there was the potential for competition with the Kansas City Power and Light District, which costs the city in bond shortfalls each year. Also some question as to, the presence of government buildings in the area, what infrastructure changes would be needed. I mean, I'm sort of the mindset, like, you can make a stadium site work most anywhere if you have a vision and kind of the will to pull it off, you're willing to circumvent whatever challenges there may be. It's just, how do you, move forward with that?
That is Thomas Freestad joining us on the show. He's with the Kansas City Business Journal covering all things stadium. Thomas, we look forward to having you on again as the story continues to develop. Really appreciate your time and Happy New Year.
Yeah, likewise. We'll see what predictions I have next.
Absolutely. That is Thomas Freestad joining us on the show. A lot of really interesting stuff. Why don't we do this? We'll step aside. We'll kind of put a bow on this stadium conversation. I also want to get to a conversation about the Kansas City Chiefs. I am afraid that one of their players is just going to get a pass for the entire season. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, I want to put a bow on the stadium conversation. We don't got to spend a whole lot of time on it, and then we'll move to a Chiefs conversation. I thought Thomas Freestad, and shout out to him for coming on the show, I thought he said something very interesting, which I think it's hard to deny. There are positives for every one of the stadium ideas that are out there. There are cons for all of the stadium ideas. Rob, now, maybe this is me hating, and I can admit that. Is there really a pro for the 119th and all other than it's close to where we perceive to be their season ticket base? Is there any other pro for that location? Is there something else that I am missing? Because to me, if the Chiefs move to Kansas, it is them saying, we know we have an attendance issue, and we think the best way to fix our attendance issue is be in the middle of the population of the people that buy the most tickets. I don't really think there's another positive to the 119th and all. It's not in a great location. You're going to have to do some massive sort of traffic infrastructure issues. The community around it doesn't really want it. There are not a whole lot of positives to me for the 119th and all site.
And you're talking about from the actual, like, on, like, location point, not things like, I don't think it requires a vote, which I think is important to the Royals. Like, yeah. That I don't say it's not a positive for me and you, but if I'm John Sherman, sure. I think it's a pro.
That is a pro.
No
and
vote.
I guess another pro for them would be, and I guess this was the second half of what I was going to say, is the downtown stadium idea really comes down to how hellbent are the Chiefs in having a ballpark village. Do the Chiefs want a new stadium or the Royals? Do the Royals want a new stadium or do they want a new ballpark village and a stadium? Because if they're just interested in buying a stadium, then you can 100% find the places for it to go downtown. But I think you heard Thomas say it. Man, the only reason why the East Village idea doesn't work is Power and Light doesn't want a competing entertainment district right around the corner. Because they already struggle to get people to go down there. Can you imagine now, a couple of blocks away, there is a very popular entertainment district that has a built-in, basically, concert, the way that the Sprint Center does. You get concerts, you get shows, so you get people going to McFadden's and Pizza Bar and all of the places around it. Man, the Royal Stadium would have something 81 days a year guaranteed, and then they always have other stuff that's going on out there. I mean, if the Royals get a brand new stadium, they're going to have outdoor concerts. The Royals have shown you they're maybe not the Chiefs. They're not going to have the Taylor Swift, the big events, but the Royals are definitely going to use their stadium much more for a concert event space. You get the Savannah Bananas. You get certain shows and things that go out there, certain unique outdoor experiences that you can only have with a baseball stadium that seats 40,000 people. Do the Royals just want to build a stadium, or do the Royals want a stadium and all of the other things to basically copy the St. Louis and Atlanta model with their stadiums?
I think that's been the million-billion-dollar question, because I think since the vote failed, the story has kind of been the Royals are looking at spots where they put the side dishes away. Like, for an example, like, they've kind of all the locations they've talked about are just the entree. They haven't talked about sides in that regard. At first, it was Crossroads Entertainment District, where you got the renderings where you'd cross the highway and you get entertainment district, hotels, shops, stadium. Man, none of the discussion reporting ever since the vote failed has been this everything. Because even 119th and all, which I'm not the world's biggest proponent of, you're not really building an entertainment center there because Town Center already exists and it's kind of right there that you're competing with in some regard.
I guess they just build a bigger extension of Town Center.
Probably.
Just because they're going to have more. I mean,
Washington Square Park has Crown Center right there. 100%. It's kind of the same thing. Like, I feel like the reporting around the idea of this entertainment district has kind of fizzled a little bit. Now, John Sherman does talk about loving the Battery. The Battery has a little bit of everything in Atlanta. But
I feel like every team is now trying to chase what Atlanta has. Which Atlanta, I think to their credit, at least in this conversation, is they moved out of the city and then moved to the suburbs where there's just more space. That's what happened. And they just have a bigger population. More people live in the Atlanta area than live in the Kansas City, Missouri metro area. That's also very important. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, why wouldn't the Royals just use Power and Light? They tried that idea, got voted down. They tried that idea.
Pretty emphatically,
they tried that idea. The proposed stadium idea was not going to be that far from Power and Light. They were trying to incorporate Power and Light into their plan. The city said, "No, keep trying." That's what the city said. The city said, "Keep trying." When it comes there, you guys know my stance. I want the Royals to be in downtown Kansas City. I think that is by far and away the best possible landing space for them.
I actually think the answer is East Village.
I agree.
I think it was the mayor. I'm trying to find the tweet. I think the mayor recently tweeted out that East Village is, the market. Like, if East Village is back on the market and, the reporting, which we just heard Thomas Freestad say, originally that kind of died because they had to protect Power and Light. But if East Village is a legitimate option, it is a layup. It's a dunk. It's It's where everyone has always wanted the stadium.
That's an idea that you could very easily sell to the public.
I don't think, I mean, I think it would pass a vote. I think no Chiefs would also help the vote no matter where you put it. But East Village feels like the spot where when this whole thing started in 4 or 5 years ago, when John Sherman was talking to Andy Rogers out in Surprise and said his vision is downtown baseball, I think everyone envisioned in their head East Village because it made the most sense. And now, 5 years later, if you can circle back and get that location, that's a win for the Royals and the city. So I agree, like Washington Square Park would work, but if we're going to name like the ideal perfect location and the mayor is tweeting this is back on the market, go put the stadium there. That makes the most sense for everyone. It checks every box.
I want to play this audio for you guys, and then we'll get to the Chiefs. Here's what Thomas Freestad had to say. He's with the Kansas Business Journal. Here he is talking about the pros and cons for the proposed stadium ideas.
The way I look at it now, I don't have a dog in the fight, but every individual site you can point to has disparate pros and cons. You know, it's been said maybe downtown's Washington Square Park is like the perfect urban setting, but it's also a tight site. You wouldn't be able to have a battery-esque mixed-use district around it. You'd have to buy parcels non-contiguous to the stadium. North Kansas City has a lot of development acreage, but it might rely on a countywide new sales tax. And then 119th and Null, they control by way of the mortgage purchase out there at the Asperia campus. But it seems as though, candidly, everyone and their mother has a reason to not love that site. I think that would be a major uphill battle if they were to attempt to go there.
I don't mean this as a slight towards Thomas Freestad. I hope he doesn't take this as that. I've never heard anybody say everybody and their mother. I heard the other way of saying it, everybody and their mama. Never heard everybody and their mother. That might be a two Americas thing.
You've never heard everyone and their mother?
Everybody and their mother. I normally hear it with a little bit more flavor than that.
No. I've heard everyone and their
everybody
mother.
Everybody and their mother. No, everybody and their mama. That's what I've heard. That caught me off guard there.
The term everyone and their mother 100% wants the stadium on 119th and Null. That's how that location works. That's how that saying works. Everyone and their mama is like Mandarin to me. I've never heard that before in my life.
Yeah, everybody and their mama, that's the 18th and Vine idea that's floating out there. Everybody and their mama want it down there. At least that's what I'm hearing. All right, let's move on to the Chiefs. I'm not going to beat you over the head with the stadium all day. This maybe is an unpopular Kansas City Chiefs opinion, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I think you guys are giving Xavier Worthy a free pass for how he performed this year. You guys know in a football game, I always hate when there's this gray area where the offensive player can't fumble the ball. You know what I'm talking about, right? They call it a football move. You gotta catch the ball, turn, spin, take 2 feet, do a dance. And when the defensive player knocks it out of your hand, we just call it incomplete. Well, wait, hold on. Like, we're not gonna credit the defensive player for making a good play. The guy clearly caught the ball. He has possession of the ball. He got the ball knocked out of his hand. That is a fumble. I hate that we have created these gray areas. And that's what I think we're doing with Xavier Worthy. Rob, did you know that this season, Xavier Worthy only played 100 less snaps than last year? We're not talking about a significant amount of time. We're basically talking about 2 games. He played 2 games of snaps less than what he did in 2024. He had an awful season this year. Where I feel like the free pass comes from, if Xavier Worthy had played really well, we'd be talking about how he played through the injury and how he played through toughness and how this was a banner year for Xavier Worthy. But now that he struggled, it's now like we don't want to talk about the struggles, and now the struggles don't count because he shouldn't have been playing anyway. Like, he basically just got a free roll to go out there this season, underperform, and now no one's going to count it against him. This is also why I think it's a little bit unfair for Xavier Worthy and why I'm not giving him maybe all of the protection that you guys, I think, are going to give him this summer. He was practicing and playing in all of the preseason games. When this team was done, when it was over, if Xavier Worthy had been hurt the entire season, you could have very easily sold me. One of the first people to sit down was Xavier Worthy, that he was trying to play through the injury. He wasn't fully healthy. You were going to sit him down, have whatever surgery you felt like he needed so he could get back out there. If Xavier Worthy was hurt, tell me why he played in the Tennessee game. Why did he play in the Broncos game? That was a super preseason game. even in the last game of the season against Las Vegas, he was not on the injured list because of a shoulder or a foot injury or an ankle injury. He was on the injured list because he was sick. Now, maybe you think the Chiefs are just lying about his injury, which is a violation and worth a fine. But if you are on the side of, well, Xavier Worthy, you guys are too hard on him because he was hurt, you got to explain to me then why he was playing in the Tennessee and the Denver game when the Chiefs started sitting down everybody at that point. Rice was done. McDuffie was done. Mahomes was done. The Chiefs started going around. Hey, are you hurt? If you're hurt, come here and you sit down. Trey Smith was done. Why is Xavier Worthy still out there the last two games of the season? I can't do anything with that. Those games don't count. Xavier Worthy was one of their more disappointing players this year. He played in 14 games and played in 700 snaps this year. We can't make it seem like Xavier Worthy wasn't on the field this year. And to have a season where he had 42 catches for 500 yards and one touchdown, I'm sorry. This summer, whenever I'm talking about Xavier Worthy, I'm not going to give him every single he was hurt protection like I feel like the conversation's going to be.
Let me ask you this, and maybe this is me making excuses for Xavier Worthy, and I'm not using the injury here, but I have this question about him. Is this a fair defense of him? Some of his lore, some of his thoughts where he's going to be the deep ball guy. Patrick Mahomes basically didn't hit deep balls this year. I don't know if that's Worthy. I don't know if it's Mahomes. I don't know what it is.
But they haven't done that. I'm sorry to cut you off, though, but this is where, to me, it's not fair. You got to explain to me how Patrick Mahomes looked like he had more synergy down the field with Tyquan Thornton than it looked like he had with Xavier Worthy. Tyquan Thornton was a guy who was on the outskirts of being kicked out of the league. The New England Patriots 2 years ago told Tyquan Thornton, you're not good enough to play in our wide receiver room. They fired him. He was on the Chiefs practice squad last year. Anybody could have picked up Tyquan Thornton. He instantly looked like he had better chemistry down the field with Patrick Mahomes than Xavier Worthy is. So I hear you if we were talking about that in the first couple of games. Man, we have seen now 31 games of Xavier Worthy's career. 31 games. They've never been good at the deep ball when it comes to Xavier Worthy. Some of that is on him. Some of that is on field awareness. Some of that is how he runs his routes. I'm not saying it's all on him, and Mahomes certainly has some accuracy issues that has missed on some big throws. But it's not like they shoot 50% when it comes to Xavier Worthy. They're like one of 11 down the field with Xavier Worthy. And if one of the throws is early in his career against the Chargers, and the other one is in a Super Bowl game in which the game, it was 31-9 heading into the fourth quarter.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it is sounding, or the way it's hitting my ear, is you're describing Xavier Worthy as maybe not full on, full fledged, but he definitely is on a Mecole Hardman trek. Because I remember we were doing the show 2019. Mecole Hardman had a really good rookie, a really good relative. He had a good rookie season. He was explosive when he played. He had 41 targets, 26 catches, 550 yards. Everyone thought during that COVID season, oh, McColl's about to take off running. He basically had the exact same season over again. He then had like a 675, 700 yard season, which was good, but he never hit that next level. It sounds like you are projecting out that Worthy, based on his first 2 years, is more Mecole Hardman than he is someone else.
You want me to give you the stats between the two?
I
got
them
right here
in
their first 2 years. You want me to give you the stats?
I'm very excited for the stats.
Mecole Hardman. Write this down. Go and grab a sheet of paper. Go and write this down. Everybody, grab some paper. Mecole Hardman's first 2 years in the league, he had 67 catches for 103 targets. He had 1,098 yards and 10 touchdowns. Those are the first 2 years of Mecole Hardman's career. The first 2 years for Xavier Worthy, he had 101 catches for 171 targets, 1,170 yards, and 7 touchdowns. They are not that far off in terms of production, what they've done the first 2 years. Not at all. Now, I think Xavier Worthy is a better player than Mecole Hardman. Don't get me wrong here. But you and I remember the conversations people were having about Mecole Hardman at the end of that second season heading into that third year. And I'm telling you, I know you guys. I know you guys so well. In June when we talk about him, the overwhelming text line sentiment is going to be, oh, you guys can't say that. He was hurt all year. He wasn't hurt all year. He played in 65% of their offensive snaps. He played in 14 games this year. Xavier Worthy was healthy enough to be out there. He was healthy enough to be out there on the road against the Tennessee Titans when their season was completely over. He was healthy enough to be out there on the field on the Christmas Day game when, again, their season was completely over. I'm not giving Xavier Worthy, oh, he was hurt, so this year doesn't count. I'm not doing that. And that's why yesterday when we were talking about this or talking about their coaching staff, they got to bring in a real wide receiver coach to get the most out of Xavier Worthy. Because if you're telling me what you're saying, Rob, he's not going to be big play down the field, chunk play guy, you wasted a first-round pick. He's a buck 80 soaking wet. He has to be that guy. He has to be big play. You know who he's got to be? Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce this season was big play down the field kind of receiver guy. That's the kind of player that you are hoping that Xavier Worthy can turn out to. Alec Pierce did not have some magical season. Rob, he had 47 catches this year. Alec Pierce did. He had 47 catches for 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. You know what Alec Pierce has been these last 2 years? Big play receiver. He averaged 22 yards a catch in 2024. He averaged 21 yards a catch in 2025. Patrick Mahomes hasn't had that kind of weapon since Tyreek Hill was in town. That's what they need Xavier Worthy to be. And if you didn't know much about Xavier Worthy, if you were just looking at the numbers, he is a very regular weapon. He is not a big-time, big-play, splash-play kind of guy. He's not even first 2 years Mecole Hardman if we're talking about big plays. Mecole averaged 16 yards a catch those first 2 seasons. Xavier Worthy's averaging 11 yards a catch those first 2 years in the league. McCole's been a bigger play guy than what we've seen Xavier Worthy be so far.
Let me ask you this then, and maybe this is a little unfair by me. Are we peeling those same protections off for Rashee Rice for his season this year? Because I would say, I don't have his stats in front of me.
You already know how I feel about him.
He underwhelmed based on expectations.
Agreed.
Now, I think 100%. The expectations for him were very lofty from fans.
Trust me, my feelings on Xavier Worthy are not to remove any criticism for Rashee Rice. Not at all. He's also in the same conversation as well. 100%.
Because I feel like what you're saying about Xavier Worthy could kind of be applied to Rashee Rice. If not, the reason he missed games was 100% more his fault. Like, Xavier Worthy did miss a game because he got ran into on the first play. Like, that happened. Rashee Rice missed games because of himself. He has no one to blame but himself for why he missed games. So I will join you arm in arm in, hey, let's take the protections off the wide receivers. They need more this offseason. We might be fighting the good fight against everyone else, against the angry horde. You know, that gif from Game of Thrones where the one guy has the sword, he's about to take on the hordes. But what you're saying about Xavier Worthy is how I feel about Rashee Rice, too.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, why do you think he can't be Devontae Smith? I mean this seriously. The one player that I don't think the text line really understands how good he is Devontae Smith. Maybe it's because he won his Heisman Trophy during the COVID season, and that's like turning like a lost college football year. I just think people are underestimating how good of a receiver Devontae Smith is and was. And Xavier Worthy is not close to the kind of player that Devontae Smith was. Like, not at all. Remember, we did the same conversation with Rashee Rice. Like, Devontae Smith is very, very good. Very, very good. So Xavier Worthy is going to be Devontae Smith. I think Devontae Smith is an elite premium route runner and has shown an ability at every single level to get open and create space. And that is not what Xavier Worthy has shown, at least not in the NFL. He's not shown that level of ability of consistently being able to get open and make plays, at least not like Devontae Smith. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Matt Tate. Rob is excited that Darren Peterson is going to play today. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
No one on the text line has still answered this question. And I'm not even asking it in a combative way. If you were telling me that Xavier Worthy was hurt all season, I am willing to listen to that. I really am. I'm willing to listen. But you have to then explain to me how he was hurt all year and then played in the most meaningless games of the season and was healthy. The Chiefs, if Xavier Worthy was hurt, the Chiefs had a chance to sit him out and say that he was hurt and immediately make him go get surgery. Immediately, and have him 100% back and ready for the games that really, really matter. There, if you were hurt, there was no reason for you to play in the Tennessee game. You were completely eliminated from the postseason, and you were playing one of the worst teams in the league. It was not a home game. It doesn't mean anything. We're just going out here playing football because that's our job. Now, I understand that football requires you to play through some measure of pain, but if Xavier Worthy was hurt, it is organizational malpractice why he was out there for the Tennessee Titans game and the Broncos game, and why he was out for the Raiders game, not because of an injury, but because he was sick. They had him on there for illness, not because of an ankle, not because of a back injury. He was a full participant in practice for the final 3 months of the season. He played in 14 games. I'm sorry, I just can't give him the, well, this year doesn't count because you were hurt. Not when you had 500 yards. Not when you scored one touchdown this season. Like, part of why this season went so poorly is because Xavier Worthy did not develop as an offensive player. And their wide receiver group just didn't live up to the expectation. We spent 18 months of our life. Couldn't wait. Man, you know what this offense is going to look like when they get Rice and Worthy and Hollywood Brown. Oh, we saw it. The league saw it for 2 weeks. They adjusted to it after the 2 weeks, and no one was worried about it again. Their offense cooked the Raiders and the Commanders, and that was it. Then their offense was very normal. Everyone was ready for what the Chiefs were about to do after that point. So I told you guys, I want the Chiefs to go get a big body receiver. No more of these 5'10", 170-pound, 4'3 combine guys. No, they need a 6'3, 215-pound. They need an Alec Pierce. They need a big physical receiver is what they need. And that guy is just not currently on their roster. Nate Taylor was on the station earlier today, and he was asked what a Trent McDuffie trade could get the Chiefs back.
I love Trent McDuffie, man. Not a problem in the locker room. Not a head case. Obviously team friendly. Can play multiple positions, which is definitely necessary in Steve Spagnuolo's complex scheme. Can blitz, can cover. You would like for him to have better ball skills in terms of generating turnovers, but like that's the trade-off you made when you drafted him, right?
It's the entire secondary's problem.
You could also argue that too. So I know that it's going to be difficult for the Chiefs to get proper value for McDuffie. And so again, is it a first and a second? Is it a first and a third? Okay, well,
is the second in 2027? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, and are you comfortable with that? And if you make that move, do you then pivot back to Watson, or do you do what you've always done, which is go in the draft and develop somebody else? That we don't know yet. I mean, those are all very capable, but I mean, like, Jalen Watson played a ton of snaps this year. He's a seventh round pick. You have to advise him to get paid. You have to. And so if the Chiefs are not able to do that, then hey, you could stick with Trent McDuffie for another year, understanding that you still have the fifth year option as a trading chip as well.
I don't mean this as shade, and I love Trent McDuffie. If you're a team, would you trade a one for Trent McDuffie? Like, if I'm a team right now, and it's not just a draft pick, it is also turning around, and after giving up a first-round pick, I now have to make him top three highest-paid corner in the league? I love Trent McDuffie, friend of the show. We can be honest about what his limitations are. And if you aren't 100% sure that on the outside he can control he can guard the true number ones of the league, am I going to make a trade to get a first-round pick? Like, let's say I'm Chicago. They're in the playoffs. There's a relationship between the Chiefs and the Bears. Brian Poles, there's some synergy there. They've done deals in the past. If you are Chicago, would you call up the Chiefs right now and offer up the 25th overall pick for Trent McDuffie? Because some of these teams, like, if you're the Chiefs, you're not trading them to the Chargers, who we're going to pick in the 20s. You're not trading them to New England. You're not trading them to Denver. Like, we're kind of getting to the point where there aren't a whole lot of teams that you even think are in the conversation of teams that you would trade them to. Like, as good as I think Trent McDuffie is, if I'm Miami, I'm not trading the 11th overall pick for Trent McDuffie. So now that we have a little bit of an idea, you kind of got to start to make a decision, like, is he even worth the first-round pick with the teams that are available? There just aren't a whole lot of teams that you even think would be in the market in which I would trade a first-round pick for a corner who I think has shown the A.J. Browns, the Nico Collins, those, like, elite guys, the guys that we argue in the top 10. He has struggled over the last couple of years guarding those guys.
Listen, we'll have a lot of time to have this conversation all offseason. I'm just flabbergasted that you, Corner Dot, are spelling the idea of what is an all-pro corner worth on the trade market.
But this, I'm telling you, I guess, all-pro and this
corner
and this
is worth a first-round pick.
You're right, but I guess he is an all-pro slot nickel corner. He is not a go-outside-I-can-cover-anybody-in-the-league all-pro. Like, he's not Stingley. I wouldn't even say that he's Kwame Lasseter for the Houston Texans. Like, do you feel like he's Surtain? Do you feel like right now, if the Chiefs had a playoff game and you asked him to go cover the other team's best receiver, regardless of how they line up, do you feel like Trent McDuffie can do it?
I would feel comfortable. Maybe that guy would get catches, but like I think if you look up A.J. Brown's Super Bowl numbers, you'd be underwhelmed. Devontae Smith, who apparently the text line just doesn't understand as good at football, was the one cooking. A.J. Brown's numbers in the Super Bowl were underwhelming, if I recall correctly.
A.J. Brown was kind of cooking early. Remember, A.J. Brown had the first touchdown in the game. It was on Trent McDuffie.
I mean, yeah, that's just corners in the NFL
for
now.
For sure, 100%.
Like, if I were to cherry pick, like, oh, you know, Pat Surtain got beat by blank. That happens. But over the course of a game, Trent McDuffie did a good job. The Chiefs did not lose to the Eagles because Trent McDuffie was getting smoked by A.J. Brown.
Everybody was out there getting smoked. It was that was from the earth out there. It was passing. Everybody was out there getting smoked. Yeah, I'm looking at the teams that you think are realistic, and there are not as many realistic teams as you would think that would trade a one for Trent McDuffie if that's what you think he's worth. And if you're not getting a one, I'm not trading a two for Trent McDuffie. I'm just going to keep him then if that's the case. But you're not trading him to an AFC team. Like, you're not trading him. Like, right now, if Buffalo called with the 24th overall pick, the Chiefs are not taking the 24th overall pick from Buffalo in exchange for Trent McDuffie. They are not doing that trade. The Chargers, they are not taking that trade. They're not taking the Houston trade. So any good team in the AFC that's in the playoffs, you're not trading with that team. That's almost half the conference. And then with some of these NFC teams, it's not very realistic to me that they would call Kansas City. Tomorrow, the Seattle Seahawks are not calling and trading their first round pick to add Kansas City's number one corner. They are not making that phone call. That's not where they're weak at.
I do think there are more teams on the NFC side that would call than you think. I think the Lions would call. I think the Cowboys would call. I think the Packers would probably call. Now, these are teams not picking in the top 10. Like, I don't think the Giants are going to call.
Well, but I guess I would say with Dallas, though, I mean, Dallas has the 12th overall pick. Dallas has one first-round pick. They have the 12th overall pick. No, they have the Green Bay pick,
yeah,
too.
They have 20. They have the Parsons pick.
Two.
Yeah.
They have two first-round picks. Would Dallas call with the 20th overall pick for Trent McDuffie?
I think Dallas would call with the
20th. That'd be interesting, though.
I would, and if I'm the Chiefs, I think you hit yes. But I think a first-round pick in the 20s is probably the value of Trent McDuffie.
Dallas with the 20th overall pick is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That they got for the Micah
Parsons
trade. It's
the Parsons pick, yeah. I said Packers as if they're
picked. No, that's
the interesting. The Parsons pick you would take in a heartbeat for Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, you would take the 20th overall pick for Trent McDuffie if you got offered the 20th overall pick.
Now, I know it brings a break. To Nate's point, if you're doing that, you need to re-sign Jalen Watson.
Oh, for sure.
You can't be walking in with no corners into 2026. But
I think Watson's about to get. I think Watson is going to be one of those guys. And when we see the number he gets paid, you're going to think, wow.
Remember when Charvarius Ward got paid? We all went, huh?
Yep.
It's the same. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's about to be a very, very big number.
He was a seventh-round pick. Go get your money, young man. But yeah, it's going to be a big number.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Matt Tate is going to join us. He covers the Jayhawks. Rob is going to the game today. Darren Peterson is going to the game. Rob's not going to play. Is Darren Peterson not going to play? We'll find out. Keep it right here. Drive.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.